If Freedom Fails. We'd like to take you on a visit to a town that doesn't exist. A town we call Springfield, USA. We'd like to show you how things would be in any American town if communism took over. This is the story of an oil company. The story of what happens to industry under a communist regime. Lloyd Nolan is starred as Elliot Vickers in Danse Macabre.
Yes, Miss Stevens.
Ralph Burke is here, Mr. Vickers.
Tell him to come in. Yes, come in.
Want to see me, Mr. Vickers?
Yes. Sit down. Ralph, you've been with Consolidated Oil for quite a while now, haven't you?
Going on 6 years.
Started as a clerk, didn't you?
Yeah.
And you're still one?
Yeah.
Did you ever wonder why?
Sure I have. Lots of times.
This is a big organization, Ralph. One of the biggest oil companies in America. We employ quite a number of people. Each of us has a job to do, and every job is important.
Sure.
Every job is important, even yours. If one of us falls down on his job, the rest of the organization suffers.
Did you call me in here just to tell me that?
That, and the fact that you were an hour late this morning.
Oh.
What's your excuse this time?
I overslept.
Now look, Ralph. I'm not going to stand for much more of this indifference of yours.
No? Then why don't you fire me?
You know why. Because the party-controlled trade union won't let me. Now get out of here.
Okay, Mr. Vickers.
All right, but let me tell you one thing. As long as you're with Consolidated, you'll be nothing but a clerk.
Don't give any odds on that, Mr. Vickers.
Get out.
Come in, Mr. Andrews. I was just leaving.
A dirty little... For 2 cents, I'd gladly wring his dirty neck.
What was the pride of the dance halls doing here? He been giving you trouble, Ellie?
Yeah, that's all he has been giving me. Ever since the communists took over the trade unions, guys like Ralph Burke have become the untouchables. You can't fire them for anything less than murder. Oh, John, isn't there anything we can do?
Elliot, look. Consolidated isn't the only account I handle as consulting attorney, and Consolidated isn't the only industry that's been having trouble. Believe me, you're all in the same boat, and I'm afraid there isn't a thing any of you can do about the situation.
Surely you've been able to find out some way to beat them, some loophole.
There is no loophole. That's what I came here to tell you. I've gone over the trade union contract with a fine-tooth comb, and there's no way out.
There must be.
There might have been at first, when the trade union was formed, before the communists got their hooks into it. In the beginning, if management had trouble with any of our employees, or if the employees had any beefs, you could sit down together with a representative from the trade union and iron out your difficulties. Put your cards on the table. Since the communists took over all the unions, they play a different kind of a game. They always win.
Well, then what are we supposed to do?
Nothing. You go on producing oil the best way you can.
Oh, sure. Sure, and hand 75% of it over to the Central Committee.
You have no other choice.
Whatever happened to the thing we used to have called free enterprise?
Haven't you heard? We all share everything.
Share. How can we share what we don't have? Sure, they claim we're living in a classless society. No rich, no poor. But the distinction is greater than it ever was. What little we're allowed to earn barely covers food, rent, and fuel. The communist aim is to beat us down into slave labor standard. They're sure heading in the right direction.
Yes, they sure are. And there's an ugly rumor going around that some of your key men are going to join the Communist Party for protection.
They can't.
Why not? Elliot, the idea is certainly logical. Maybe they're still hanging on to their democratic ideals, but they have to live. And certainly, immediate salvation under communism looks a lot better than a vague hope of some distant, brighter future.
Would you join the party?
Well, I don't know.
John!
I wouldn't want to, Elliot, but the time is coming when I'll have little choice. When any of us will have a choice.
Yes?
Mr. Winston's on the phone, Mr. Vickers.
Put him on. Hello, Frank. Yes. What? But we've told them that we can't do that. We'll kill it if we do. Yes. Oh, I of course you have. I'm sorry. Well, maybe I'd better come down and see if there's anything I can do. Is Albright still there? Well, tell him to wait. Well, they're at it again. Comrade Albright's at the field insisting that we aren't producing enough oil. The Central Committee wants more.
What do they want to do, run the ground dry?
Well, it looks like it. And when a geologist like Frank Winston can't make them understand it... I'm going down to the field and see if I can make Albright listen to reason.
You're wasting your time, Elliot.
I know, but enough's enough. Oh, in the meantime, John, go over the contract again. Go over it with an X-ray if you have to. There must be some way to beat them at their own game.
Here's Mr. Vickers. You better talk to him.
Hello, Frank.
Elliot.
Hello, Albright.
Hi, Vickers.
What seems to be the trouble?
Oh, there's no trouble. The Central Committee just sent me down to see what's holding up production of oil.
I explained to Mr. Albright that when we try to withdraw the oil too rapidly, the overproduction upsets the balance between the gas and water pressure. And that forces the oil up through the ground, and the water and gas gets to the well before the oil. I also told them when that happens too many times, the oil still in the ground may be lost.
See, that's right, Albright. If we try to increase the production, there's a danger that the wells will run completely dry.
Well, I don't get any of that technical stuff. All I know is there's plenty of oil in the ground. The faster you pump it out, the more you get.
But practical experience has shown
us... Hello, Winston. Yesterday I got a letter from the Central Committee. They don't like the condition of our national economy or the Treasury. They want to speed up the production of oil here at Springfield. You see, our other nations will buy all we can produce. That way we can build up the treasure.
I still say you're asking us to do the impossible.
Look, I don't care what you say. I've got my orders. And you've got yours.
Be reasonable, Albright. The men have been working for Consolidated for many, many years. This is the only job some of them have had. They know it's their bread and butter. And they're not going to do anything that might put an end to their source of income.
We're not asking them to stop working.
No, but you're asking them to overwork the pumps. And I don't think that they'll do that.
Some of them might. Harry Newman! Joe!
Call me, Mr. Albright.
Hey, come over here now, will you?
Sure.
Newman?
That's right.
But he's our field engineer.
He's a party's engineer, too.
What's up, Mr. Albright?
I'm going to have a little argument with Mr. Vickers.
Yeah?
He seems to think your men are overworking the pumps.
We're getting the oil, ain't we? There's a lot more where it came from.
But you can't speed up production, Newman. You know that. Before long, there won't be any oil left at all.
Winston's right, Newman. From now on, you'll keep the production level where it is.
That an order, Mr. Vickers?
Yes.
Sorry. I take my orders from the trade union.
As long as you work for Consolidated, you'll take orders from me.
Now, see here, Vickers.
Just a second, Mr. Albright. Look, Mr. Vickers, it's about time we had a showdown. I've been taking orders from you and the rest of the Consolidated's big shots for a long time. I've watched new guys come in and grab jobs I should have had.
They got the jobs because they were more competent.
That's your opinion. The party leaders seem to think I'm okay. Right, Mr. Albright?
Right, Joe.
From now on, Mr. Vickers, if you've got any complaints, tell it to the party. I'm too busy to listen.
Yes, I was saying, Vickers. Commissar Post wants your oil production speeded up. I'll leave it to you to figure out how. So long. I'll see you soon.
It's funny what a little power can do to some people. I remember Sam Albright was councilman for the 14th District. He was a pretty nice guy then. Of course, he was ambitious even then. Knock himself out for anybody in Springfield if he thought it'd help him politically. Yeah, Sam always played along with the right people.
Looks like he still is.
Yeah. Well, there he goes.
I don't like it. I have a feeling that something's brewing.
Maybe. But what do we do about the Central Committee's order for more oil?
I don't know. I don't know, Frank. I'll try to think of some way to get around it. Right now, I'm going home and have some lunch. Maybe it'll give me strength to take all this.
Mr. Vickers, I've been trying to reach you. I called your house, but you'd already left.
What is it? Where is everyone?
In the boardroom upstairs.
In the boardroom?
Mr. Walker and two other trade union officials came in just a little while ago and said they wanted everybody on the office staff in there. Mr. Vickers, what does it mean?
I'm not sure, Miss Stevens. I just hope it doesn't mean what I think it does. What's this all about, John?
I'm as much in the dark as you are, Elliot.
All right, what is Ralph Burke doing here? I thought this was a staff meeting.
Search me.
I don't like it.
All right, quiet down. Now, this meeting has been called for a special reason. Most of you are probably wondering why. Well, the president of our trade union is here to tell you all about it. Here he is. Comrade Roy Walker.
Oh, so that's it. Burke's a member of the party.
I'm not going to take up much of your time. Just one thing I want to talk to you about. Most of the people you got working for you here at Consolidated are members in good standing of the trade union. Most of them, I said. But I got information that some of them are antisocial. Some of them are anti-worker.
Quiet! Go ahead, Comrade Walker.
Like I said, there are some people here who refuse to recognize the party in America. And the time has come for us to expose them. This is a list of those people. Comrade Burke has done a good job of bringing their names to the attention of the trade union. I'm going to ask him to read the list.
Martin Goodman, pumper. Carl Eaton, oiler. Alan Geiser, payroll. Howard Finley, accountant.
Finley? Hey, just a minute. What's Finley accused of?
You're out of order, Mr. Vickers.
Finley has been an accountant with Consolidated for 15 years, and we have no complaints.
So what? Anybody can do the work he does. It doesn't take any brains to be an accountant. In 2 or 3 weeks, I could learn enough about Consolidated to take over the whole accounting.
Now, just a minute, Burke. What right have you to talk?
Comrade Burke will continue with the list.
Where does he get off getting up there?
Comrade Burke will continue.
Howard Finley, accountant. Vernon Lambert, gauger. Ruth Seeley, refinery. Dorothy McKee, distillery. Paul Miller, gauger. Shirley Smith, personnel. And Jim Colbert, superintendent of pipelines.
The people Comrade Burke just named are dangerous to the future of the party. The trade union refuses to recognize them as members. And we suggest they be dismissed from Consolidated. Any objections?
Any objections?
If there are no objections, we'll...
Yes, I have an objection.
Oh?
Are these people to be fired without being given a chance to defend themselves?
Since they're not recognized by the party, they can have no defense.
Oh, probably not, according to party ethics. But in a civilized democracy, they'd be allowed to state their beliefs and plead their innocence.
I see. What's your name?
He's John Andrews. He's consulting attorney for Consolidated.
Well, Andrews, all I gotta say is, if you're smart, you'll stick to your law books and stay out of things that are none of your business. Are there any more objections? Okay. If there's no more objections, it's the will of the workers that the people on this list be fired from the Consolidated Oil Company. That's all.
There's no reason to get upset over this thing, Finley. Now, if you and the others on the list will just sit tight, we'll see if there isn't something that can be done.
Please, please don't try to help us. It won't do any good. It'll only make matters worse.
But the trade union has no legal right to take such action.
What difference does that make? They have the power.
But Finley,
please,
no...
Please, don't call me in here again. If Burke or any of the others see me, they'll report me.
Hello, Davidson.
Hello, Mr. Vickers. Sorry, I'm due out in the field.
No, no, wait. I want to talk to you. I haven't seen you for a couple of weeks.
I know. Mr. Vickers, I don't have time to talk right now. I'm sorry.
Wait. What is it, Davidson? Have you joined the party, too?
No, not yet, but... Look, I got 4 kids. One of them taking treatments for polio. I got to make a living. The job I have is the only one I'll ever have. They'll see to that. They got us all dancing to their music.
You are listening to Danse Macabre, starring Lloyd Nolan. A story of the way things could be if communism took over. a picture of what life would be like under a communist regime in an ordinary American town. A town we call Springfield, USA.
It's maddening, Edith. They've got the employees completely paralyzed with fear. They can make the most outlandish request, and all you hear is, "Yes, comrade. Right away, comrade."
Please, dear, your dinner's getting cold.
Oh, dinner? I can't even think of food.
Elliot, you haven't eaten a decent meal in weeks. You can't go on like...
Can any of us? Already we've had three purges. You know what that does to morale? The people come to work, but they can't concentrate because of worry about the future. Then they work because of fear. The fear is certainly no incentive to efficient work, so we try to offset the deficiency by drives. And again, urging people to work is no substitute for their will to work. So what happens? Production falls off despite everything we try to do.
Is it really that serious?
Yes, Edith, it is. The whole atmosphere around the plant is poisonous. If the communist informers see anyone associating with us or even talking to us, they're branded as possessing ideas contrary to the thinking of the people's democracy.
Is joining the Communist Party such a terrible thing?
Edith!
Well, after all, the people keep their jobs, even if they do join.
Oh, you don't understand. They aren't the same people after they've joined. There's no longer the friendship of men working together on a common job. It's evident that they're being influenced, instructed. They fear what'll happen if they don't toe the line. And not only that, every man has his eye on the next man's job. Every one of them is a potential informer on others that they once considered close friends.
But how can the communists exert so much influence over the people? For that matter, where did they get such power in the first place? I always thought America was the most powerful country on earth.
It could have been. It could have been if we had stamped out this evil while we had the chance.
Well, what's going to happen, Elliot?
I don't know. I don't know, but I have a feeling that it's going to happen soon, whatever it is. As Davidson said, the communists have us dancing to their music.
On this Easter morning, in a time of great suffering and shaken faith, we must look back to another Easter season, to a tomb cut in stone. We must remember the great promise bound round with rope and guarded against intruders. On that other Easter, so many years ago, there were those who traveled the countryside to speak words of hope. Today, the travelers are few, but the words of hope remain. They must remain. For without hope, we are like the chaff which is scattered by the wind.
Elliot.
We cannot be there in this dark hour.
John, what is it?
Come on, I must talk to you.
Well, can't it wait?
No, no, come on.
All right.
Elliot, where are you going?
I'll see you later. All right. I'm sorry.
This, above all, is thine own self.
What's wrong, John?
Wait a minute. All right, get in the car.
All right. Now, what's all the mystery?
The communists have come out into the open, Elliot. They're taking over all industries, employing more than 100 people.
What?
Yes, they've already started to replace managers and the office staffs in about 600 plants.
Consolidated?
I don't know, Elliot. That's why I came and got you.
How did you find out about
Somebody called me on the telephone, refused to give his name.
I knew it. I knew this was coming, but I didn't think it would happen so soon.
Well, nobody did.
That's pretty clever on their part. Strike us when we're in church praying for a strengthening of hope and faith.
Oh, they know what they're doing.
The Lord only knows what other plans they have up their sleeves. We'd better get down to the office as fast as we can.
That's where I'm heading. I have a hunch we're going to run into trouble.
Well, so far everything's all right.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Look, Elliot.
What?
Somebody else must have found out about this. They've called the police to guard the front door.
It'll take more than two policemen to keep the communists out.
Just a second. Where do you think you're going?
Oh, that's all right, officer. I'm manager of this plant.
Who's he?
He's our consulting attorney.
I don't know. I got orders to keep everybody out.
All right, now, look, officer, I appreciate you doing your job, but since I'm manager here, I can't see any reason why I should be kept out, or Mr. Andrews.
It's like he said, mister. We got our orders.
Your orders to do what?
To do whatever Comrade Walker tells us to.
Walker?
Sure. We're working with him now. You haven't heard, mister, but the party's taken over this place. Matter of fact, Comrade Walker's in your office right now, going over the books.
What? I want to see him.
Think it's okay to let him in, Charlie?
Yeah, sure. Why not? They can't make us any trouble.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, thank you, officer. Come on, John.
So it's come?
Yes.
Now what?
First, we talk to Walker.
Won't do you any good. He's holding all the aces.
Maybe he is. But I'm not giving up without a fight.
We haven't got a chance, Elliot. They're in, and they're going to stay in.
Maybe. But first, I'm going to find out just what goes. I wonder if we should knock before we go in.
Bring over those other two ledgers with you, Bert.
Yes, Comrade.
Oh, Vickers, Andrews, come on in.
Comrade Walker, I want to talk to you.
Close the door.
All right, Walker, what's going on?
I'm going over the books with Consolidated's new accountant.
Do you mean Burke?
Yeah. He means me. See, Vickers? I told you I wouldn't always be a clerk.
Well, you lousy...
All right, Vickers. None of that. Get back to the books, Burke.
Sure.
He'll ruin those books.
I don't think so. Comrade Burke's a loyal member of the party.
You know, Walker, legally you have no right to take over Consolidated.
You're wrong, Andrews. You were told you weren't meeting the Central Committee's request for more oil.
You mean that demand?
So we're taking over to speed up production.
I told you once you can't speed up production. You have to control the rate of production or you dissipate the underground pressure and lose the oil forever.
Isn't it a fact that you gave out instructions from time to time to decrease the production rates?
Yes, I did, but it was only because such a move was good engineering. It was necessary for efficiency.
That's your explanation. We believe the decreases were political for the purpose of sabotaging the 3-year plan.
That is not true.
We think it is. There are other examples of mismanagement we're going to correct. For one thing, the wages you've been paying are too high.
They're too... Well, coming from the head of a trade union, that's very funny. Just how do you figure that?
Your books prove it. Out of their wages, the men are able to give contributions to social welfare expenses... Gifts for births, marriages, maintenance of employees' clubs.
Well, they've never complained about it.
If they pay for these unnecessary benefits, they're obviously making more money than they need. So these benefits will be eliminated. And the wages cut accordingly.
No, wait. How will the men meet the living expenses if you cut their wages? They have rent to pay, food to buy, autos.
Autos are a worker's luxury. They'll be confiscated. We'll show the workers that savings can be made, even though they earn less money.
That's impossible.
Not if they're conditioned to accept the savings.
You don't have to condition workmen against fair treatment. And what you hope to save at the expense of the workers is chicken feed. It's detrimental to their morale.
We're only interested in building up party doctrine and policy.
You'll make slaves of the people by depriving them of their rights.
Rights? It's only right if the party says so.
And their freedom?
Freedom to do what? From now on, the only freedom in this country will be the freedom to work for the party.
Let go of me! Let go of me! I'm going in!
Davidson,
what's going on?
Davidson.
That guy says he has to talk to you, but we told him... Come on, you. You're getting out.
No! No. Let go of him.
What? All right, Sergeant. You can let him go. Now, what do you want?
I've been fired. Why? Why?
What's your name?
Davidson. Henry Davidson.
He was on the last list, Comrade Walker.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Bert.
I demand to know why I was fired.
We don't have to give you reasons, Davidson. You're through, that's all.
Oh. How about the money that's coming in my severance pay?
Forfeited.
But it's mine. I need it. My son, the hospital, his treatment.
You've been declared a fascist, an enemy of the party. Therefore, your severance pay is...
My son's going to die if I don't get that money.
Then let him die. No.
Go on home, Henry. I'll see what
I can. I
can't
see
him
die.
Out of here.
All right, get going.
I can't do anything for him. He'll die. But if he dies, there's nothing left. Nothing.
Is that an example of what the party hopes to do for the people?
He's weak. There's no place for the weak in the party.
What was that?
You better come out here. That crazy guy just grabbed my gun and shot himself.
John, let's get out of here. I think I'm going to be sick.
Horrible, Elliot. Horrible.
They've gone mad, Edith. They've seized all the big industries and they've closed down the little ones. They've started their reign of terror. The people are joining the party because they have no other choice except to kill themselves or to try to get out of the country.
Where will it end?
They aren't going to stop with the workers themselves. There'll be more purges and still more. They'll get everybody. No one will escape.
Not you.
There's no way out for me either. I'll never join the party. I'm not weak enough to do what Henry Davidson did, but the light has been shut out, Edith. All we can do now is hold fast to our faith and hope.
Don't answer it.
Well, that's all right, dear. Yes?
You, Elliot Vickers.
Yes.
You're to come with me.
Where are you taking? What are you going to do to him?
Don't worry, Mrs. Vickers. We only want to ask him a few questions. He'll be back in an hour. All right. Let's go.
Goodbye, Edith.
You'll be back soon, Elliot?
Yes, dear. But, don't wait dinner.
You have just heard a story of what happens to industry under a communist regime. You have just heard what would happen to any American industry if communism took over. You think this could not happen? It did happen to the Mayort Oil Company in Hungary. It did happen to the manager's secretary, the chief geologist, and the consulting attorney who were arrested. It did happen to the field superintendent who jumped to his death from an oil derrick. It did happen to the chief engineer who got 4 years in prison, to another executive who got 10. It did happen to the manager of the company who was tortured into signing a confession and sentenced to life imprisonment. You've been listening to If Freedom Failed, starring Lloyd Noland as Elliot Vickers in Danse Macabre. Stacey Harris was Andrews, Lou Krugman was Albright, and Tyler McVeigh was Walker. Music was composed by Earl Lawrence, with musical direction by Michel Perrier. Danse Macabre was written for If Freedom Failed by Milton Kahn, produced and directed by Will Scott. Sergeant Lloyd Iyer speaking. This program has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.